You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Zip Thy Lip. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Did your childhood doctor make house calls? Mine did. His name was Dr. Herbert Janssen. Everybody called him Dr. Herbert, and that was to distinguish him from his brother, Dr. Helge Janssen. Dr. Herbert was the one who brought me into the world in 1947. He and the hospital charged my folks a whopping $60 for my birth. Maybe they thought that they were getting a good deal, but I cost them a lot more as the years went on. In my memory, I can still clearly see Dr. Herbert coming to our house when I was sick. It always went the same way. My mom would decide early in the morning that I was sick enough to call the doctor. She'd call, and Dr. Herbert would say, "I'll come out to the house." She'd always call in the morning, and he'd always come around 4 o'clock. And that whole time in between, little Dale was in bed, scared to death, because the doctor was coming. A kindly, distinguished, white-haired man, when he eventually arrived, he'd sit on the edge of my bed, and I remember that the mood in that sick room was always quiet and subdued. Dr. Herbert would ask some questions. Mom would talk with him. I didn't say much, because I was scared to death I might get a shot. The quiet conversation was often punctuated by silence. That quiet conversation, that silence, came because we knew the doctor had come to help. We would have been foolish people not to be quiet and not to listen. My messages this month are about some aspects of communication. Today's message is Zip Thy Lip. Quiet conversation, including significant silence on your part, can improve your skill in communication. But most important of all, listening in silence is a characteristic of the person who seeks to know God and to live a truly Christian life. James chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Someone may think that he is religious, but if he does not control his tongue, he's deceiving himself. His religion is worthless." Let's start with silence in church. Now, you might think that's a strange place to start this topic. That's not where most of us have our communication problems. In fact, many people think that home and personal needs come first, then church, if a person is interested in going to church at all. But I've got a reason for beginning this message about communication with silence in church. My reason is this. Someone once asked, "Which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The next is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus' answer teaches us that God is to be our greatest concern, and then our relationships with other people. We're not supposed to view God like our family viewed Dr. Herbert. We called him only when we got sick. The rest of the time, we thought the world of Dr. Herbert, but we didn't pay him much attention because we didn't need him. Now, God is there for you when you need him, but he doesn't want to make only an occasional house call in your life. As the Bible says, the first great commandment is to love God with our whole being, and then to tend to our interpersonal problems, like communication. God should always be first, relationships with people second. When we talk on this program about communication, or aging, or divorce, or cancer, or any other issue, we're not simply bringing God in on a house call to fix your problems. Our purpose in this program is always to deepen your faith in God and in your only Savior, Jesus. That, in turn, will prove to be a blessing to you as you face the problems of your life. We try to do what Jesus said in Matthew 5:33, concern yourselves with God's rule and His righteousness above everything else, and all these things will also be given to you. So, in due time, I'll get to quiet conversation and listening at home. But for now, just hold your horses and hear me out on silence in the church. Silence should be an important aspect of worship in church because someone is present to help you. Mom and I were pretty quiet because Dr. Herbert had come to help. In a much greater way, quiet, silent reverence is an important part of worship because someone great, namely God, is present to help you. You know that you're a sinner. You and I and everyone born to a human father and mother have sinned. You and I haven't always done what God wants us to do. If you want proof, all the troubles we have in life, including poor communication, are a result of sin. The greatest result of sin would be eternal death in hell for you, were it not for the fact that our Heavenly Father sent His perfect Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and to rise again to give you and me the sure and certain hope of eternal life in heaven. That's the heart of God's good news to us sinners. And that's the reason why we seek God first and give secondary importance to our interpersonal problems. But that's not the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. There's something more that too many people don't think about. Somehow that good news has to get into the heart of sinners. Dr. Herbert had a lot of medicine in his office, but that medicine didn't do sick little Dale any good unless it got to me. Dr. Herbert put the medicine in his black bag, brought it to my bedside, and sometimes my worst fears were realized when he gave me a shot. He was a kind man, though, and often he gave it to me in a place where it didn't hurt as much as in my arm. That medicine wouldn't have done me any good unless it had been brought to me. In a similar way, worship in church is the chief place where God brings the salvation of Jesus Christ to us sinners. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the message. So in worship, the gospel is read and preached. Psalm 32 verse 5 says, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So in worship, we have confession and absolution. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism saves us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul tell us that Jesus instituted Holy Communion, the sacrament of His body and blood, for the forgiveness of sins. Hence, worship has baptism and the Lord's Supper. This is no house call. This is God present in the worship of the church for your salvation. I've got to make this point to you as emphatically as I can. God is really present in worship to save you. Worship is not like getting together to sing Auld Lang Syne unto God. Worship is not thinking about God the way we remember the Founding Fathers on Independence Day. A listener in Michigan gets after us every time we say, In Jesus Day. He reminds us that today is also Jesus Day, and he's absolutely right. So when you and other sinners get together around the Word and Sacrament in worship, God, Father, Son, and Spirit is really there. The obvious response to God's presence is reverence, quietness, even times of silence. As a child, I had to memorize Bible passages. One that I remember, which is relevant here, is Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen, rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, who do not know that they do wrong. Zip thy lip. Some people are fond of saying, let's just praise the Lord. I really wish they'd rethink that expression. Do you call that a good conversation when only one party is talking? Do you call that true worship when you gather together just to praise the Lord and not to be quiet and listen to what He has to say to you who are still a sinner? Oh, true, there's praise and worship. I'm not disputing that. But if you go to worship just to praise the Lord, then your view of worship is too self-centered. The best praise in worship comes when we first zip our lip and in quiet reverence receive Him who comes to us in His gospel, in absolution, in baptism, and in Holy Communion. Okay, since you've heard me out now about quietness in church, let's talk about quiet conversation and silence with your family and friends. Let's go from the first great commandment to the second great commandment, our relationships with others. Since God is present in worship to save you, shouldn't you in turn be there to help others? I didn't always see Dr. Herbert at home. Sometimes Mom took me to the office for checkups. More than once, Dr. Herbert interrupted the examination to take a phone call, someone calling and describing their sickness. I still can hear him saying on the phone, I see, He was listening. And when he knew how he could help, he'd say a few sentences, and then the phone conversation was over. Sometimes you can really praise God for all that He's done by zipping your lip and listening for ways you might help others. Remember what James says, someone may think that he is religious, but if he does not control his tongue, he is deceiving himself. His religion is worthless. One night after supper, Diane and I were still in the kitchen. I was sitting at the table, sipping a glass of wine, and Diane was doing the dishes. She said to me, "The kids are down the street playing." "Yeah, I guess so," was my answer. Well, she brought that up a few more times. I was listening, but I wasn't getting her real meaning. "Yeah, I know they're down the street. Why do you keep mentioning that?" "Because," she finally said, "they could be helping me with the dishes. Or you could help me, instead of sitting there watching me work." Bingo! She got me. But you know, that was successful communication because we were both listening to each other. Sometimes you can really praise God for all that He's done by zipping your lip and listening for ways you might help others. There are other times when you can help by zipping thy lip and not gossiping. Inquiring minds often sin because they talk about things that aren't their business. Our society is set up so that certain people have the job of dealing with certain problems. Husbands and wives, for example, are supposed to listen and help one another. Parents have authority over their children. Various agencies of the government are to exercise authority for our good. And so it goes. Certain people are appointed to tackle certain problems. Put your energies into your own areas of responsibility, and for the rest, zip thy lip. Martin Luther says, "No one shall harm his neighbor, whether friend or foe, with his tongue. No one shall speak evil of him, whether truly or falsely, unless it is done with proper authority or for his improvement. A person should use his tongue to speak only good of everyone, to cover his neighbor's sins and infirmities, to overlook them, and to cloak and veil them with his own honor." That's what Luther says. Someone else says, "Hey, did you hear that so-and-so's marriage is on the rocks?" Time out! Unless it's close to home, that's none of your business. Zip thy lip. "Hey, did you hear that so-and-so's personality is making trouble again?" Now that may be true, but zip thy lip. If you're going to talk about that person, say something positive. "Hey, did you hear the gossip about the preacher?" "Yes, I did," you should answer. And then you should add, "And I think we'd do better to pray about it than to gossip about it." Listen to Luther again. Our chief reason for doing so should be the one which Christ indicates in the gospel, and in which he means to embrace all the commandments concerning our neighbor. Whatever you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. And that brings us right back to God, doesn't it? Christian living is caught up with God. Our communication in this world is always going to be imperfect. What is imperfect compels us to call. When little Dale's health was less than perfect, Mom called the doctor and he came to help. When our communication is imperfect, when we fail to listen, when we fail to understand, when we fail to say good about others, then we seek God's forgiveness and help in worship. In quietness and humility, we hear that God is present among His people. He's really present in worship, and God comes to save us. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message brought to you by Lutheran Hour Ministries.